You're listening to the All About Symbian podcast. Today, with me, Ewan Spence, and Steve Litchfield. Yes, it's an interesting show today. The summer months are here. That means all the secrets are being wrapped up for October and the Q4 lead into Christmas. So there's other stuff to talk about. There was a Ford in America that came out, and admittedly not Symbian, but having a huge effect on the market. But you know, what has been in the news, and I've been going to talk about this briefly at the start here, is the firmware updates for Nokia, specifically Nokia's N95, my current device du jour. I did the update there to version 12, and I have to say, I'm disappointed in part of it. Not in the firmware. I think that the ability for end users to upgrade their own firmware is something that the market definitely needs and is long sought after. What really upset me is that backup doesn't fully back up my device anymore. I did the backup, I restored it, and half my applications were missing. And, you know, I backed up the C drive. You know, I backed up the C drive both onto the PC, using PC Suite, latest version, and onto the memory card. But a couple of my applications didn't map over, didn't back up. A couple of my settings didn't move over. Now, I remember the day, Grandpa Simpson hat on, when a backup meant backup. And if you did a restore, you got back the same device. Now, this obviously is not the case. Now, the problem of this, of course, is OMA, forward digital block security thing. So things like applications, JavaScripts, and to a certain extent, ringtones and wallpapers, if they're flagged up as that, and you're not just using an MP3 on the hard drive that you've copied over yourself, these don't get passed out of the device anymore, so they can't get backed up, and it's really, really annoying. If I'd bought any of these applications over the air, for example, and did the firmware update, and I'd done a backup thinking, oh, that's okay, I'll restore it, and it wasn't there, there's every chance that I would have to either buy them again or hope that the network that I bought them from allowed me to do a re-download. Now, something like Handango does, but it's certainly a lot of the Jamster applications, you don't get a second bite at the cherry. You know, you get an hour to download them, and then that's it. Game over. So that was pretty upsetting. So I just went quiet there because I can hear somebody downstairs from me drilling on their roof and on my floor, which is quite disconcerting. Almost as disconcerting as not getting a full backup. So come on, guys. There must be some way you can flag it up so that a backup backs up everything. If I'd been out on the road and I was relying on the SD card as a backup, I'm really, really disappointed now. The other thing, of course, is not all firmwares are equal. You all know that. The fun that you have with network-specific firmwares compared to Nokia's firmware. Obviously, I know there are workarounds, and obviously the tech geeks in the world know that there are workarounds as well. But firmware updates still have a long way to go to be generally available. I am looking forward to the time when Vodafone and Orange, certainly in the UK, will allow their firmwares to be part of the firmware upgrade system as well. It is possible. After all, Zendo managed it 3 or 4 years ago. We've got a commercial break here now. Lovely.
Welcome to Ready, Steady, Cook. Take a $600 Apple iPhone and add in an FM and internet radio. Add a 5-megapixel professional camera, full autofocus, dozens of settings, and a good flash. Add in a solid-state DVD-quality camcorder. Add in a GPS with worldwide street maps. Add in stereo speakers. Add in an extra camera for video calls. Add in a 3.5mm recessed audio jack converter. Phew. Add in a proper OS capable of running native apps. Add in Java, Flash, Python, POSIX. Add in a 3D graphics chip. Add in a savings account to save up for sending the iPhone away next year to have a new battery fitted. And add a wheelbarrow to carry everything around in. Now that's what you call a well-kitted out phone. Or you could just call it a Nokia N95 and pick it up for free with a typical monthly contract in the high street. Apologies for the blatant iPhone dig and N95 fandom. Come on back, Apple fans, we're just having fun. I loved what Chris Ziegler from Engadget said. Quote, "The iPhone is an interesting study in refined minimalism. Just how much seemingly necessary functionality can Apple take away from us and still convince us to switch on the strength of the iPhone's brilliantly executed UI alone? For me, the N95 represents the opposite end of the spectrum. Call it a study in extravagant featureism. To paraphrase Chris, just how much functionality can Nokia pack in and still convince us that the functions are easy to find and use? In reality, of course, both devices are imperfect and have lots to learn from each other. I'm really looking forward to October's smartphone show in London. The usual mix of new devices and networking is going to be spiked further by the iPhone's existence and by the Nokia N95 itself. What do you think, Ewan?
Thank you for that, Steve. Well, what do I think? I think you need to remember two things from the last week. One of them, a commercial sense, and one of them from a business sense. The first one is, raise pinky, 1 million devices. Not, I seem to have turned into a Spanish version of Dr. Evil there. But yes, at least 500,000 have already been shipped out the doors. And they're on course for 1 million devices in under 2 or 3 weeks selling. And that is pretty good. I mean, the rule of thumb is it's always pretty easy to sell 40, 50,000 of any bit of technology. And if you think the N-Gage over its entire lifespan did about 2.5 to 3 million devices, to have 1 million iPhones straight up is very well done. Now, it's a comparable number to something like the iPod Nano. It's, you know, so it is in this lovely middle ground of it's more digital media player that has a phone on it and so on. But I think what's more important and something that needs to be picked up on is the so-called reality distortion field that surrounds Steve Jobs, and that's simply marketing. And this is something, the presentation of devices that really the industry and Nokia and Sony Ericsson especially need to get a grip with. If you look at the comparison of the announcement of the iPhone, you have very minimalist slides, you have lots of repetition from Steve Jobs. You know, there's always three repetitions of something, he's always using the same tags and buzzwords. He's a very, very good orator. Now you compare that to Finland and at the announcement of the N95, it will, and I've nothing against Finns personally, but listening to a monotone Finnish voice in English with the very complicated, detailed slides and structures coming up on the stage to announce the wonderful new Nokia N95 N-Series multimedia device doesn't quite have the same ring. Tone. Sorry, bad joke there. So they really need to work on the presentation. And Finland, I would suggest that you hire a comedian or an after-dinner speaker, somebody who's very eloquent and somebody to be the public face of Nokia, in the same way that makeup companies do. They choose somebody who has lovely skin and flowing hair, you know, or Andy McDowell. So I think Finland need to look at a face of Nokia. Someone who's professional, who can communicate very well, who can get over that same amount of enthusiasm that Steve Jobs has. The marketing of any smartphone is critical, and Apple understand that, and to be honest, I don't think anybody else does. I think that is one of the major differences. But you should remember, it's still quite a small market. I mean, you know, the amount of smartphones that went out of the Sony PSP and the Nintendo DS between them probably sold last year in excess of 60 million devices. You know, now you put together all the smartphones, and you know, we're struggling to get to get to maybe about 20 or 30 million smartphone devices in a year. We've got 100 million in total in last year if you add them all up. But you know, for one manufacturer to do a lot, it's just not there. You know, the scales are changing, and I don't think the companies are changing fast enough. Okay, we seem to be wittering on there. We're running low on the time here for our short All About Symbian podcast, but just a very quick plea to people who are doing web services. Let's have some joined up stuff. I mean, MyStrance is a great example. I love the look of MyStrance. It's a social recommendation engine for your music. It listens to the music that you're playing on your smartphone, sends it off to a server, and it works out other people who listen to the same sort of music. Recommends you music that they like, that it thinks you like. It recommends you friends based on, you know, the fact that you like Terry Wogan, Metallica, Iron Maiden, and Kiri Takanoa. Unfortunately, there's already a service like that on the web. It's called Last.fm, and I'm not going to switch to MyStrance especially quickly, because I've got a huge amount of data in Last.fm. Now, if I could get the data if MyStrance could use the data from Last.fm, I'd be more than happy to have it on my smartphone and run it. As it stands, it would seem to me that I wouldn't be using the service fully. It would be nice to have that joined up thinking. In the same way that Google Calendar, which I'm looking at, has a lovely web version of itself. But all my data is using Outlook, and there isn't a single hop Outlook to Google Calendar. Yes, I know there's geeky technical solutions that gets me data out of there and then out onto a mobile service so I can look at it on a PC or a web browser or somebody else's phone or on my phone or on a little Java client that's been written and give you ultimate portability to my diary. The idea of decoupling data from specific devices is something that really appeals to me. But I can't do that. No, this keeping inside, making me jump through a lot of hoops and just locking me into services. Facebook is a great example. You know, I remember 10 years ago, we were all delighted that AOL finally emailed from outside AOL going to AOL. And we seem to be putting up all those walls yet again in the web. And I really think that with the explosion that we're going to have in mobile data usage, the mobile internet and our little handheld internet terminals, that these lock-ins of data are just going to make things more and more and more complicated. I do hope we get it sorted out. And that doesn't mean, you know, it's great having people doing scripting and as scrapers, but really the people who are doing the service at the end should realize that there is benefit. If Last.fm opened up the data, I would use them more. And if MyStrands used that open data, I would use that even more as well. As it is, I'm going to choose between them. So I'm not losing out. It's the companies that are losing out. Anyway, that was your All About Symbian podcast. Thank you for listening. Comments, as always, back to www.allaboutsymbian.com. Catch you on the next show.
You've been listening to the All About Symbian podcast. www.allaboutsymbian.com. Copyright 2006.